Hello and thanks for joining us for today's Big Sky Mental Health Podcast that will focus on athletics and academics. I'm Denise Thompson from the Big Sky, and I'm joined by Aaron Grasonic, the Director of Student Athlete Wellness at Montana State. Our guests today include Idaho State Athletics Director Pauline Barros and Montana Faculty Athletics Representative Charles Palmer. Thanks for joining us for this special podcast, Pauline and Charles.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Denise. Let's go ahead and start with you, Pauline. What is it about the student athlete experience that made you want to become an athletics director?
My goodness, it's everything about it. I had such a good experience as a student athlete, a volleyball student athlete at Idaho State University. The relationships that I formed with my teammates, the things that I learned from becoming a great competitor and focusing on my craft as a volleyball player, and the important interactions that I had with our faculty and with my coaches and with people in our department who were supporting us, it's really been a formative part of my life experience. And I wanted to be an athletics director so that I could, you know, impact the environment that supports that experience and give that to other people. I think athletics is a great gift. It's something that we're very fortunate to be able to take advantage of. And I wanted to remain part of it, both professionally and personally, for a very long time.
Charles, so Pauline touched on the student athlete experience, and we know that a high degree of organization can aid a student athlete in being successful in the classroom and in their sport. Can you just tell us a little bit on how can establishing that early on in the student athlete's college career help them post-college and as they continue through every year?
Well, organization is just one of those great life skills that really benefit you in so many ways. So if you learn that as a student, it can then kind of translate to your post-academic life. And that looks like things like having your materials together and perhaps getting yourself a daily planner, knowing when due dates are for assignments and tests, having meeting times and dates written down, things like that. All of those really can benefit you really, really well when that student athlete transitions to the workforce, whenever that might be.
Aaron, can you add your perspective on whether it is devotion to practicing a sport or daily workouts? You know, what can a student athlete do when they're taking care of their bodies and it also lets their minds follow positive patterns of achievement? How can exercising help student athletes with their studies?
You know, Denise, I could go on about this for a long time, but I'll save everybody the pain and agony of hearing some of the research I've done. I think that exercising and moving does a whole lot. One, having that part of a routine, as we know, routines keep us focused. Routines keep us on task. And so just having that routine of exercise, going to practice, whatnot, helps all by itself. But the way I think about the mind and the brain is I think about it very similar to muscles. As we move our brain and move our mind, just like a muscle, it gets stronger in those areas. The interesting thing about exercise is that when we do things like lifting weights, our muscles get stronger because these different chemicals are released in the muscle that help them grow. We know that those same chemicals go up into the brain and they help the brain grow and form these stronger connections that we need while we're studying and learning. We know that exercise does directly help the brain by helping it to grow and form those really important connections. We also know that exercise helps the brain by helping it to release certain chemicals that help our mental health and focus. So all of those things are directly related to exercise and just moving around in general.
Pauline, you know, Aaron touched on all those different things. And while primarily we have been talking about student athletes, can you just add to that a little bit about you and everyone else that may work in the athletic department and how sometimes we're in front of our computers and we're so focused on getting the task at hand done that we also need to get up and exercise and move around to stay healthy?
Absolutely. You know, you just have to have a few non-negotiables. And for me, especially this year, that getting up to work out first thing in the morning before the day gets going, that's become one of them. And instead of making life harder, I think that's made everything a lot easier to be able to have that energy rush at the beginning of the day, get the endorphins flowing, and know that you've at least taken care of your health that day, no matter what else happens. So it seems difficult to fit it in, but the key is making it a habit. And once you do that and it becomes part of your life, you're healthier, you feel better about yourself. And I think that you're less distracted because you know you've taken care of business, so you can be more helpful to the people around you.
Academics is at the forefront of the Big Sky in all of our institutions. And our college students definitely, you know, have to find that balance when it comes to working the stuff for their schoolwork as well as the different things for the classwork. Can you just discuss with us and share some of the resources that athletic departments across the country, you know, have to help student athletes with their academics?
Oh, of course. Well, first and foremost, there's your academic advisors. You know, student athletes are fortunate to have a good relationship with a specific advisor that understands what they're up against and help them in planning to accomplish the work of their syllabus and so forth. So heavy utilization of that person who is there for no other reason than to help you is really important. And remember that they have some access to your grades and your attendance and things like that, but help them understand what's going on in your head or what you're experiencing or how you're feeling so that they can best help you, because none of us who are here to help you can solve problems that we don't know about. So I think being willing to share is really important. But the other academic resources that are available, most of our departments, most across the country, have a tutoring program. Requesting help from those tutors very early on, as soon as you think you might need a little help. You know, don't be conservative. Don't try to wait until things are bad before you request help. Request it early on in the semester so that you can stay on a good track. Most departments, our department uses Google calendars a lot to communicate with student athletes about schedules. We make sure that we send invitations for practices and meetings and advising sessions, and engaging and utilizing a calendar program like that that's accessible to you on your phone that helps keep every day organized. If you're like me, you couldn't live without it. And that really takes the stress off of worrying about whether or not you'll keep up in a given day. And then there are other resources. A lot of teams have laptops available for checkout, or central academic offices have a laptop. You know, if you're a student athlete without access to your own laptop and you're doing your homework on your phone on a road trip, let somebody know that you need to get some technology. There are things like hotspots available and different resources that can be checked out to make sure that you're using the downtime on the road effectively, regardless of what kind of equipment that you have been able to get for yourself. So don't let those types of problems linger. And then, of course, your SWA, your athletic director, your coaches, your FAR, all of them have open ears to want to know and understand what you might be struggling with and help you plan to tackle those obstacles and address them. There's nothing more stressful than allowing something that is troubling you or in your way to continue to be there because you are not willing to ask for help. It feels so much better when we ask what resources are available. And trust me, everyone in your athletic department is going to jump on the opportunity to help you.
Thank you.
You know, Pauline was just talking about, it ended with discussing the passion that a lot of people have when they work with student athletes. And Charles, I was wondering, why did you become a faculty athletics representative? And maybe you could share a little bit about what you do.
Yeah, for sure. It wasn't an active process on my part to become the faculty athletic representative here at UM. The position just kind of opened up unexpectedly, and I put in for it and eventually got accepted for it. I grew up as a coach's kid, and so I've just always been around athletics growing up, and I've just always kind of had a fond place in my heart for athletes and performers in general. As a graduate student here at U of M, I worked in the Athlete Academic Advising Center. And so again, I just kind of had an opportunity to get exposure to student athletes and a chance to kind of see how complex and rigorous their everyday life was, just trying to handle both of those identities, the student part and the athlete part. And then my academic background is as a sport and performance psychologist. So again, an opportunity to spend time around athletes from the professional level all the way down to the high school level. And again, just really reinforced with me how just how much I really, really appreciate and look up to student athletes, actually, and just what they're able to accomplish in terms of, again, living really dual identities. It's hard enough to be a student at a university level and then throw on being a Division I athlete as well. And then to mash those two together, it takes a tremendous person to be able to navigate both of those successfully. And so when the FAR job opened up here, it just seemed like a fairly logical extension of the things that I was interested in and what I felt were my abilities to be able to contribute to the team approach that we have here. And so, like I said earlier, I threw my hat in the ring and got accepted.
Thanks, Charles. You know, what you really talked about is all of the different layers in terms of what got you interested in working with student athletes in athletics to begin with. And Pauline, you're a mom of college student athlete, and you're also an athletic director. What are some of the benefits that you see that athletics has on students and athlete performance?
Oh, there's so many. And of course, all of us, this is why we're here. So I think we think about this a lot. But first and foremost, the majority or many of our student athletes are fortunate to be at a university because of a scholarship. So let's not forget that access to higher education that their skill and talent in athletics help them to achieve. That's a really great opportunity. And I'm always so glad to hear how grateful our student athletes are for that opportunity. And so I think that they're compelled to make the most of it. But I also find that all of the things that might make you a great athlete or a great competitor, things like focus, attention to detail, investment of time and energy and doing the right things, all of those are the same things that make you a great student. So as soon as student athletes master the idea that everything that they do to be a great competitor on the field or on the court, if they do those things and go about attacking their academics as if they are competing, they're going to do well. So I think sometimes we forget that those same traits that we employ to make us a great team member, those will make us a great student. And then just the fact that you're part of a community of Bengals or Wildcats or Bobcats, right? That all are experiencing the same thing, and you can pick up good habits and gain support from your fellow student athletes across your department when you need it in order to just give you that extra motivation to be devoted to your studies. But that, in addition to all of the resources that we spoke about that are available to student athletes, many of them are things that any other student across campus would really feel very, very fortunate to have. So those resources are hard to come by, and students that are willing to reach out and utilize them, I think, do so and have a great experience. So while being a student athlete is so difficult and so challenging, and just like Charles mentioned, we admire them so much, athletics gives you a special opportunity to excel as you seek your degree and in your respective sport.
You know, going off of what Pauline just said, you know, the student athlete experience and the opportunities put before you, one of the things, Charles, that's important for student athletes is how are they communicating with their professors in advance, especially when it comes to missed class time. You touched on earlier a little bit about planning out their schedule and how to stay organized. But can you just talk about how, you know, they can go about that a little better and how that can definitely help when they're communicating, even though they may be virtually away and not physically in the classroom?
Well, many professors truthfully have no idea who the athletes are in their classes. I mean, sometimes they can give some tells with how they dress and things like that. But oftentimes the professors, especially those that aren't that interested in athletics, they might not have any idea who the athletes are in the classes that they teach. And dare I even say it, a student athlete might at times even run into a professor or an instructor who is almost anti-athletics, or maybe not almost, maybe is just not that concerned at all about athletics. And so they might face resistance from the very get-go sitting in a classroom. And that's unfortunate, but that's also a sad reality, I think. And so it could be something as simple as at Montana, we have travel letters for those students who are in season. I would presume that most other places do that, but the student athletes then are instructed to bring the travel letters to their professors to say, hey, here are the dates that I'm going to be gone. And then to schedule an appointment with that professor if that professor wants to do that, and just say, hey, here's what my requirements are for travel, when I'm going to miss class, what can I do to be able to address that. And in general, I end up seeing a lot of athletes in my classes that I feel fortunate for that. And one of the things I tell them is I'm just a huge proponent of working on the front end versus the back end, which in other words, let me know of things that are coming up versus letting me know about it on the backside or after it's happened. And that I'm much more amenable and willing to work with any student if I know about things before they're going to happen versus after they've happened. So I really, really advocate for being proactive. And again, through that travel letter and some other contacts with that professor, just let them know, hey, here's when I'm going to be gone. What can I do to stay caught up and to be successful in your class? And in general, I think professors and instructors really, really appreciate that proactivity.
You know, you just talked about being appreciative. And although, you know, we may be in the middle of COVID right now, so most schools aren't having fan attendance at their games, most schools do have the opportunity to have a staff and faculty appreciation night. You know, so you being a professor on campus and having so many student athletes in your classroom, can you just talk about, you know, how as a professor, how that makes you feel when a student athlete is able to, you know, recommend or personally invite you or your colleagues to a game, you know, to bring them out of their element to kind of build on that relationship?
Well, I think a lot of us work in thankless environments at times. You know, we just, we try hard, we do our best, we work super hard, and there aren't a whole lot of thanks out there at times, especially in positions where, you know, you're at the pointy end of the spear for getting all sorts of criticism and people who aren't real favorable for what you're doing, for whatever reason that might be. So any chance that could happen, something like that, just an opportunity where other people show their gratitude and their thanks for the job that you do, that goes a tremendously long ways. And again, they do that here. We do that here at U of M through Professor Appreciation Weeks and Staff Appreciation Weeks. I'm sure other campuses do that as well. But for sure, because in a world where there's often few thanks to go around, any time that you're attention is brought to you for something that you do, that goes a long ways positively.
Thank you. So Aaron, while some college athletes experience difficulty when it comes to balancing their athletic commitments with academics, there are many students out there that actually find that high degree of organization required to boost them to be able to accomplish all those things and be successful in both areas. Why do you think that is?
You know, as Denise, as you were reading that question, I had this kind of vision pop through my head of a volleyball match. And you see the players on each side of the net, very intense. They serve the ball. And then once that point is finished, you see a lot of release of emotion, a lot of intensity. And then a reset back for the next serve. And I think that that's what student athletes are used to. They're used to having intense moments where they get through that point and then they reset, have another intense moment, get through that and reset. And I think that that applies greatly to their academics and their schedules and to their lives. I think it's been in some way it's something that they're used to. It's been learned for a number of years. And I think our students are used to that. And I think maybe even just part of being a competitor is being able to do those things. I know for myself, my most organized time of my life was when I was a college athlete because I didn't have room for anything else. And, you know, it poses some difficulty right now during COVID and some of the other challenges we're having right now in this country, because we don't have that schedule as much. And I think that one of the things that we've been trying to do at Montana State University is to try to keep our athletes still on a time schedule and keep them, keep the intensity up in their lives. because without it, we feel lost. Let's go ahead and move over to Pauline. Pauline, can you describe the feeling that you get when you see student athletes walk across the stage and receive their college degree? For me, it's an exciting time. And what's something that student athletes should keep in mind in order to keep them on track to graduate?
Oh, yeah, I'll tell you what, I love commencement. And just as disappointing as it has been this year to not have competition in the fall, I was equally disappointed that we didn't have a spring commencement or a winter commencement in person, because it's one of the greatest feelings. It's just the culmination of all of that hard work, and to see a student athlete and their family celebrate just a truly amazing accomplishment. We all know how hard it is. It is the best feeling in the world to think that we had something to do with helping them with that opportunity and supporting them in their hard work. So it's I am always deeply moved to see student athletes graduate, and I am photobombing all of their pictures and making sure I'm down there and I have selfies with students, because I just love it. If I could fill my whole wall with those images, that would be my preference. I think that student athletes should keep in mind that for the majority of them, right, for 99%, 99.9%, the ball is going to stop bouncing. And when it stops bouncing, that degree is extremely important to be able to pursue the rest of the goals that you have for your life. So I really, I know that focus is on their sport and on preparation and training is always important, the time at hand. But I always encourage student athletes to be doing some thinking about their future. You know, what ideally is really going to make you happy when you are done competitively playing football or volleyball or running track and field? What's that going to look like? I think that visualizing that well before it happens, starting to have a picture of that in your mind as a freshman or a sophomore, and looking forward to that as much as you look forward to Saturday's game, is something that will really hit home for you the importance of that academic degree you're seeking that's going to support that life after collegiate athletics. Because it does come, trust me, and some of us just go kicking and screaming into coaching and then into being an athletic director, right? Because there's some of us that just can't give up this rush. And maybe that's what your life looks like. But if it does, think about it. Just like you visualize the perfect swing or, you know, winning that conference championship, visualize life after collegiate athletics, because it's a great way to keep focused on the big picture and on all the marbles in the jar. Don't wait to do that until after you graduate and there's no practice next week and you're just thinking about it for the first time. Think about it now.
Pauline, you talked a little bit about the blood, sweat, and the tears that we all get to see our athletes go through as they are on track to graduate and then look towards their future without whatever that is going to be at the end. And Charles, I was wondering, did you have any time management tips for studying to help student athletes while they're on the road traveling?
The vast majority of them have figured it out, I think. I mean, they're just, like I said, they're so good at navigating those waters between being a student and an athlete. The one thing that I would say is just the old fashioned grandma rule, which is just, you know, clean your room before you go outside. And I think that can translate to students on road trips, which is you're probably going to have work to do in terms of academics. So if you can at all possible, get that done as early as you can in that trip so that you can just sit back and enjoy the rest of the experience. You can play your contest. You can hang out with your teammates. You can soak in this new place that you're at without this cloud of a test that you have coming up or an assignment that's due just hanging over the top of you, because you knocked that out already. You spent that time on the front end, and now your anxiety is lessened, your stress is lessened, because that's not just sitting there with you because you've already put that time in. That'd be my recommendation, to just take care of it early.
We've talked about time management, organization, passion, and so many things as it relates to athletics and academics. And I just want to say a special thank you right now to Pauline and Charles for joining us on today's podcast. Thank you, Aaron, for your wonderful insight. Remember, listeners, you can visit us at bigskyconf.com and click on the Mental Health Resources tab under the About section to access more information. Follow us on Twitter at BigSkyConf. Until next time, have a great day, and thanks for listening.